Our podcast will begin in just a moment. Did you know that when you roll over your 401k, after-tax contributions can only be rolled into an IRA or a retirement plan that keeps track of the taxable and non-taxable parts? Talk to the 401k rollover experts at KPP Financial. They'll help you make the best possible choices. Just click on Contact Steve or Justin and type 401k rollover on investtalk.com. And now, today's podcast.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. So I am here, and I do this every day, to promote above-average investing for the average investor. And, you know, it's a skill that you can learn, a skill that is very important to you if you have a 401k or you're saving for retirement, you have any kind of investments. It's a skill that, okay, you don't have to be an expert at, but you certainly have to understand it. And one of the ways I bring you up in your skill set is give you information and perspective, let you answer questions. I also do this through my premium newsletter. It comes out every Friday. Came out Friday today, the Friday about noonish or so. And it goes to all our subscribers and our clients. And you can subscribe. And you don't, it's painless. There's a money to get back guarantee. And sign up at investtalk.com. That's where you sign up. It costs less than $10 a month. Comes out every Friday. So what money questions are on your mind today? Would you like to talk about annuities? Because they're promoted by life insurance companies everywhere. They got lots of money, and they spend a lot of money advertising annuities because that brings in them lots of cash that they get to hold on to forever for a very long period of time. Oh, well, you want to talk about IPOs? How about initial public offerings? Usually not a good investment. Usually not. Of course, you're going to have your winners. You're going to have your big winners. And they're the ones that hit the headlines. But the average IPO, 6 months after they come out, they're usually trading below what they were when they came out. That's pretty normal. Anyways, anything you want to talk about financial, give me a call. We have our 24-hour listen line. It's always open, 888-99-CHART. That's also our live number right now, 888-99-CHART. And let's answer a question right now.
Hi, this is Tim from Texas. I'm a longtime podcast listener. Really like the show. I had a question about share types. I've been looking into Under Armour for some time now, wanting to pick up a position in the low 30s. And I noticed that there are a couple different types of shares you can buy, the regular shares, and then I think the other ones are the dash C shares. I think those are shares without voting rights. I was just wondering, in general, where do you find out the types of shares that are available for companies? Is there a place to easily find if there are different types? I ask because I noticed the Under Armour dash C shares are a little cheaper than the regular UA shares. So wondering where I could find that information for any stock, and also what's your opinion on those two Under Armour stock options? Thank you.
Okay, Under Armour symbol is UA. And they have A shares and C shares, and you're right. Most of the time, the different share classes are based on voting rights, and whether a person owned these shares have voting rights versus a person owned the other shares. So that's what it generally does. As far as anything else, there's not much difference between the two share types. And if you want to get the information, it's available. You can get it through the SEC EDGAR, EDGAR.com. And it will give you all the information on a particular stock that the SEC has on file for them. Or you can go directly to the company. You know, each public company, almost every one of them has a client relations staff person. And they're the ones that can answer those kinds of questions. Is there a website or a list or someplace where you can just look them up? I've never seen one. That's because different classes of shares are kind of unusual. It's not very common. They're unusual.
It's time now for this market update from KPP Financial on July 22nd. An upbeat ending to the week With earnings better than expected, the market marched up. Earnings reports are still in season, and the ones issued so far have encouraged investors. U.S. stocks climbed toward a fourth week of gains. Telecom stocks put the balance on the upside, countering the disappointment in the industrial sector. Early moves today reflected a cautious attitude as investors look toward next week when the Federal Reserve issues their next policy statement. S&P 500 closes at a record high of 2175, that's up 0.5%. The Dow picks up 0.3% to end the week at 18,569. And that's a quick accounting of today's market. Let's get back to this Invest Talk replay now. Do you have a question for Steve or Justin? Call in right now and they'll answer it on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Now, what can you learn from bumper-to-bumper traffic? Kind of an interesting way to look at investing. What bumper-to-bumper traffic has in similar ways with investing. And it's a stretch, but we'll get there. Also, I didn't get to any of my talking points yesterday. Any of them. I wanted to talk about commodities in 2016. I wanted to talk about college degrees and how they are the new high school diplomas. And underfunded pensions. That no one's talking about. No one's talking about the underfunded pensions these days. So those, I still want to get to those before the end of the show. Let's go to Mark and PB. How you doing, Mark? And for all those guys out there, Mark, who don't know where PB is, that's Pacific Beach. I grew up in San Diego, so we all called it PB.
Yeah. I have four different IRAs.
Yes.
I have a traditional, I have a Roth, a rollover, and a SEP.
Okay.
Can I combine any of those?
Yes. Is the SEP currently being funded right now? Is that...
No,
active?
I basically did it as like kind of a tax saving.
Right. I know a lot of us did.
Yeah, for about $10,000. I guess that's how much you can pull out if you were to buy a house.
Yep. I did that too. A lot of people did that. Now, yes, you could combine the IRA, the rollover IRA, and the SEP IRA into one.
What would it be under?
Now it would be just a new IRA, just a plain old vanilla IRA.
Traditional IRA.
Yes, the SEP and the rollover. Because a rollover, and Mark, this is just for everybody else. A rollover is what happens when you have a 401k at a place of business and you're working there, and then you leave. Right. You then can roll that 401k into a rollover IRA.
Right.
And that's what you did. And now you have three IRAs that can be combined, but you have to keep the Roth separate.
Right.
Okay, because of the two different way taxes are taken.
Right.
So what you could do is you can call some money manager like me, or you can do it yourself at a bank or a mutual fund. You can do it anywhere you want to and say, I want to combine these three IRAs.
All right. And
they'll be happy to do it. We do it all the time.
All right. Great.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Jim in Claremont. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you making it.
How do you pick a sector that's going to be performing well for the next month or 2 months?
Okay, fair enough, and a good question, a very good question. Trying to figure out what sectors are moving in relationship to each other is something that we do constant work on. It is something that is very difficult but doable. There are certain websites, CBS MarketWatch, one of our partners, has a sector analysis area. They have charts, and they show you the sectors. You can see the sectors intertwine with each other on a chart, which ones are moving up through the other sectors. It's pretty obvious. And that's how you have to do. You have to go to Yahoo Finance or CBS MarketWatch or one of those other CNN Money and find the sector analysis in there and figure out what sectors are moving up. Also, the Investor's Business Daily newspaper once a week has a sector analysis. And it talks about sectors and which ones are moving up and which ones are the highest rated. And you can find it. It's out there. It just takes a little bit of work.
But that's all past performance, right? That's not necessarily what's going on in the future.
Well, nothing will tell you what's going to happen in the future, but what it will do is it'll tell you, if you watch, it'll tell you what sectors are moving up and have been moving up. Uh-huh. And that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for the moving sectors. Doesn't have to be the top one or two sectors. It can be the 10th or 12th sector. As long as it moved from 3 weeks ago, the 18th sector, to 2 weeks ago, the 15th sector, to last week, it's the 10th sector, to this week, it's the 6th sector, you know that all the stocks in that sector have been moving up.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Jim, I appreciate the call, and thank you for that. I think the sector question was very, very good, and I think everybody should be paying attention to the sectors they're in. Now it's time to call with your questions, or you can share your investing experience. Whatever you want to do, you can call our anytime line and record your question, 888-99-CHART, or you can send me a note directly. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now it's time to give me a call. What do you want to talk about? I'll talk about anything that's on your mind. Anything that you want to discuss, I'm more than happy to talk about it. Commodities. In 2016, I wanted to talk about commodities in 2016 because they're the ones that have been falling for 5 years in a row. So I want to get to that before the end of the show and why they are now moving this year. What's going on? Also, our main talking point is a lesson in retirement investing from your morning commute. And they're trying to draw parallels with traffic jams and the market. And it's a stretch. Trust me, it's a stretch. And what they're saying is, have you ever noticed that when you're stuck in a traffic jam, that the lane on your right or your left is moving faster than your lane? And then you move to that lane and then it doesn't move faster? And how is that similar to the market? If you're looking at a stock or a sector that's moving very fast up, you seem to be late to get into it. And as soon as you get into it, other sectors or stocks go up and yours stops. Well, what you're doing is you're chasing something that you should never chase. In the market, you do not chase performance because it doesn't work. Now, does that mean you never buy a stock that's going up? Of course not. But you don't buy it because it's going up. And that's where the problem lies. You're buying something because it's going up. You buy something because it has great value. You buy something that has the fundamentals are very strong. You buy something because that sector is now gathering strength, that the economies, the economic cycle you're in or the economy you're in is going to favor these types of stocks, or the political will favors these kinds of stocks. You don't buy it just because it's going up. And that's what they're trying to say in this article relating it to traffic. You just don't switch lanes just because that lane's moving faster. Because as soon as you do, it slows down. Why? Because everybody's doing the same thing as you are. If a stock is really rising fast or a sector, it gets noticed by everybody and they start jumping in. Then it doesn't work anymore. Everybody's in, no more people to come in, you're the last one to find out, it doesn't work. That's what this article is talking about. And, the comparisons are kind of weak in my eyes.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
John in Oceanside. How you doing, John?
I'm pretty good. My question is, I heard this rumor. If you buy a stock that is interest and you reinvest the interest and hold on to that stock, eventually you get rich. Is that true?
Well, that's kind of a broad statement. When you say you're talking about dividends, right? When you buy a stock and it pays dividend. I'll tell you this. Dividends make up about 30 to 40% of the return of the S&P 500 over the last 100 years. Dividends are very, very important. So when you reinvest them, the answer is it will help greatly get you rich. But you have to buy the right dividend-paying stocks. You can't buy a stock that goes out of business in 20 years or 10 years.
Like ExxonMobil?
Yeah, ExxonMobil is a perfect example. It's going to last forever. You can buy a couple of drug companies, that pay very high dividends. You also want to buy companies that are growing, growing their earnings and growing their dividends. So it's not just paying the dividends, but also increasing the dividends. So, John, you could build like a little portfolio of these high dividend-paying, growing companies, and you'll do very well over time.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. The specifics of retirement differ for everyone, but the broad goal is to have your financial freedom. We all want that. Give me a call. We'll talk about it. 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Let's go to Bob and San Ramon. How are you doing, Bob, there in San Ramon, Bob?
Steve, I had a question about insider trading. Are there services that track insider trading and produce reports?
Yes, there are, because they have to report. Insiders have to report their buys and sells. They have to report their options. They have to report everything. And, Morningstar, Zacks, Daily Graphs, many, many, many people report on the insider trading activity. You can find that information in a lot of places on the Internet. Yahoo Finance is good. MSM Money is good. MarketWatch.com is good. Those all report those insider trading activities. Problem is, you have to find it. It's not like, oh, here it is.
That's my problem. I see it on Yahoo, but I want a report where you don't have to go into each stock.
Yeah, well then, see, when you're talking about reports, then you're talking about people like me who buy those kinds of information. You had to buy it.
Oh, okay.
And, if you're trying to trade your own, is it worth to buy that information? You know, inside trading is not a simple thing. People think, well, oh, they're selling. They're buying. Well, a lot of times when they sell, they're selling because their net worth is too much tied up in one stock. Bill Gates sold millions and millions of dollars worth of his shares, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have faith in his company. He's just trying to diversify. So it's a very difficult report. I think what's more important is insider buying rather than insider selling.
That's what I would think, too.
Yeah, because they have to use real money to buy, real money. When they sell, it could be just options they're exercising that they got for free or a very low price. So selling may not tell you the story. But when an insider is buying heavily, the CEO and his high cohorts, that means they're having a lot of faith in their company. That means they may know something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, somebody always knows something before you and I do. They always do.
Yes, I think that's true.
Bob, appreciate the call.
Sure. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Well, I've talked about it before, commodities in 2016, for 5 years, 5 solid years, commodity prices have been falling. 5 years before this year. And you knew it was going to end. You just never know when. But when you're looking for opportunities in the stock market, you look for something that's been beaten up and don't necessarily go out and buy it right then. I'm not suggesting that at all. But it is a good way to invest is looking at those things that no one likes and hasn't liked for a long time. Because those are the things that can really help. For instance, we knew that oil was beaten up and no one likes oil. We knew that there was a lot of problems with it. And it's true. There was a lot of problems. We knew gold. Everybody hated gold, don't want to buy gold. And so what did they do? Everybody sold it off, and for years no one likes it. And you never know when the bottom is going to come in, but those are the kinds of things you kind of sit back and try to figure out. Now, commodities have been a big winner this year. Sugar's up 39%. Lean hogs, 39% up. Crude oil, 37%. Gold up 27%. So, now people are starting to get excited about it. Remember our talking point about the fast lane and you're moving over and you wonder why you're not making money? Because you got to be real careful. Is a trade getting too crowded? Now, right now, I don't think certain commodities are, but some are. So I still think, for instance, I think crude oil has had its run. I think we're getting close to its top and it's probably had its day. I'm not sure about gold. I think gold still might have more to go. But, you know, again, the idea is to look for opportunities. You can look for them by sector, and you're looking for them by stocks. Now, when you look for a sector, most sectors, when they start move up, pull all the stocks in that sector with them, even the bad stocks. But you still need to look for the good stocks in those sectors. So commodities is now, we might have a run on commodities for several years. That means that commodities generally, commodity prices will generally probably rise, but there's going to be, the easy money has already been made. I think it's going to be more difficult now, more difficult. But, you know, that's why I mentioned value investing versus growth investing. I think we've had a 5+ years of value of growth investing being the darling of the stock market. And now I'm telling you, and I have been telling you all year, I think value side of the market is a better bet because there's, you know, it's just the way the cycle of the market runs. It's just the way. I think it's value's turn. Do I know it's value's turn? No. But I've been around a long time. It sure feels like it. Our program is brought to you by our company, KPP Financial. We offer a variety of carefully designed investment programs designed to meet a range of goals, retirement goals, and investment goals people have. High risk, low risk, whatever it is you have, I have a program designed for that. So if you'd like to know more about them, just click on investments on the investments tab at investtalk.com. And I encourage you to continue your learning process. We all learn continually. Read, listen, ask questions. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now. The number is 888-992-4278.
Thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Have you looked at the list of KPP Financial investment strategies designed to fit a whole range of lifestyles and goals? Select Growth and Income is one of our program's hand-picked mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. Learn more about it on investtalk.com. Just click on the Investing tab. End of commercial. And now let's get back to Invest Talk. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Underfunded pensions. No one is talking about underfunded pensions anymore. A few years back, it was a big concern. Why is it becoming a big concern again? Well, from before 2008, before the recession, it was a much more of concern as it hit because the stock market for a year did nothing, and many of these pension plans, and we're talking about, you know, unions and, you know, remember they put money, all their pension money, in the market, not necessarily all stocks, and they make assumptions of returns. And the assumption return is about 7%. They're assuming they're going to make 7% on these billions of dollars in pension funds. Well, what if they don't? For instance, there's some experts calling for a 2 to 3% return per month for the next 5 years or so for market returns, very low returns going forward. And we had very low returns the last year and a half, 2 years. And you add into that, these pension funds are not fully funded. They have about 80, for instance, the Kroger multi-employer pension plan, Kroger, the food company. Remember, there's lots of unions in the food industry. Well, they have $80 billion in funds, but they have $100 billion in liabilities. And they're not putting more and more money in to keep up. And there is a pension guarantee fund. You know, so you say, okay, well, the pension guarantee fund will come in. But if just one of these major pension plans out there fails, The estimate is the pension guarantee plan has about 2 years worth of money to pay for the liabilities for those funds. So, you know, this is kind of a hidden danger out there, because everybody in these pension plans are assuming that they're going to make a lot of money in the stock market, and they don't all the time. It's going to be a problem. You watch. At some point in the next few years, one of these big plans will go under, and then it hit the news. Why weren't we paying attention? What happened here? You've heard it here first. Pension plans are going to be a big problem. And when you sign up on our InvestTalk Insider, you will receive an email with access to information like our special watch lists, the webinar archives, chart lessons, and a variety of articles written by myself and Justin. Every bit of this information is free. All you do is sign up at InvestTalk.com. You just become an InvestTalk Insider. Again, just click on InvestTalk tab.
It's time now for this market update. From KPP Financial on July 22nd, an upbeat ending to the week. With earnings better than expected, the market marched up. Earnings reports are still in season, and the ones issued so far have encouraged investors. U.S. stocks climbed toward a fourth week of gains. Telecom stocks put the balance on the upside, countering the disappointment in the industrial sector. Early moves today reflected a cautious attitude as investors look toward next week, when the Federal Reserve issues their next policy statement. S&P 500 closes at a record high of 2175, that's up 0.5%. The Dow picks up 0.3% to end the week at 18,569. And that's a quick accounting of today's market. Let's get back to this InvestTalk replay now. Do you have a question for Steve or Justin? Call in right now and they'll answer it on the next InvestTalk.
Okay, we're going to go to Jim in Palo Alto. How are you doing, Jim?
Thanks for taking the call.
I appreciate you making it.
Hey, I have a quick question for you regarding Roth IRAs. When one invests in a Roth IRA and you make trades, you create capital gains and losses, what happens with the short-term versus long-term capital gains? Since they're not taxed, is that not a consideration at all?
Not a consideration at all.
Okay, so that is the advantage over just a regular brokerage account.
In a Roth and a regular IRA, you don't care about short-term, long-term capital gains. You don't care about any of that. You trade whatever you want to do because there's no tax on it.
Excellent.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to James in San Mateo. How are you doing, James?
Hi, Steve. I love your show. I have a quick question. If I were to trade full-time, what type of entities should I set up? Or should I, for tax reasons?
If you're going to trade full-time?
Yeah. I'm just curious.
You mean as far as a corporate structure or limited partnership?
Exactly. For depreciation, like a business.
Okay.
Do you recommend to set up something? Or
is it just going to be you trading for yourself?
Yes.
Okay. Then you could probably do a sole proprietorship. Set up an entity called a sole proprietorship under your name. I would probably start there because you don't want to incur costs by setting up a corporation right from the get-go. Let's first see how you do and see if you make some money. You know, you always got to learn to walk before you can, you know, can start to run.
And
you want to crawl. So at the first point, the first step is to set up a sole proprietorship. Treat it like a business. Set up a separate account under the sole proprietorship's name, and it would be James, your last name, sole proprietorship. You know, you can name it whatever you want to, but I would put James, whatever your last name, sole proprietorship. Open up an account under that name, open up a checking account under that name, so that any expenses you incur come out of that business. Treat it just like a business, and you can do that, and that's how you start. So you open up your trading account at wherever E-Trade or, you know, wherever trading company you're going to be, and under that name. So then you have a business.
Okay.
Now you can also take on clients, by the way, up to $25 million in other people's money without having to file anything with the SEC.
What do you mean by that? You mean like,
so let's say
you just trade their account, or do
Let's say your brother says, you know, you've done so well, I'm going to give you $100,000. You're trading my money too. Or your uncle or your neighbor. Well, you can take up to $25 million without worrying about the SEC and doing filings and all those really headache things that they make you do, that I have to do. Okay, so if you stay small, you're kind of under the radar system.
I see. Okay.
And I do know a lot of guys, James, who do that. They stay small on purpose just so they don't have to do the reporting.
Okay. Got it.
Good luck with it. I hope it works for you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, James.
Do you have questions about FDIC security, mortgages, money market funds, losses to your retirement plans? Give us a call today, 888-99-CHART.
Marie in Snow Valley. How are you doing, Marie?
My husband and I are 88 years old, and my daughter is helping us decide what to do with an IRA. We have about $200,000, and it was called from a bond, and this needs to be invested.
Okay.
Are we too old to think of a balanced fund or a bond fund, or should we just go to cash?
Well, you're 88. God bless you for that. How's your health?
Fine.
Are you financially set? Do you have any worries about money other than this money?
We just need this money to pay insurance policies.
Normally, at 88 years old, I would say don't put it in anything long term.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have your health, Marie, go take a trip around the world. I'm thinking if you're financially set, you know, you saved and worked and scrimped for this money all your life, and it's time to enjoy it.
Well,
I don't know. If it was me, and I'm 88 years old, and I have lots of money, and this is money I just need for insurance payments, and how much is that a year, by the way?
Well, the one we have to pay is $8,000.
Eight? Mm-hmm. So at $8,000 a year, if you made absolutely nothing on this $200,000, you got 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
Of money. And God bless you, I don't think you're going to make it up to 108.
No, I don't think so either.
Okay. What you could do, do you have one child, daughter?
I have two daughters.
Have you been giving them gifts of up to $10,000 a year to transfer the wealth without a tax consequence?
Well, our other money's all in property, and mm-hmm. we can't because of capital gains yet.
That's right. You got issues there. I would keep it liquid. I do a CD or treasury. I do ladder treasuries or CDs. I would not get involved with the stock market at 88.
Okay.
And that's just me. If you have plenty of money, sure. If it's fun and something you want to do, sure. But otherwise, I'd probably keep it very safe, Marie.
I just want to be sure I make that $8,000.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. Time for InvestTalk 101. When you're investing, you must be attuned to the global economic gyrations like the one we've witnessed over the past few days. The Brexit. Markets fluctuate up and down. Now, what you really need to look at is, will this affect our market, our economy? Will the Brexit affect it? And the answer was probably not. So from that, you knew that this is probably a short-term problem, not going to be a long-term for us, maybe for Europe, but not for us, and more of a problem for Britain. So markets will fluctuate on economic news, economic forecasts. You know, remember, the market is made up of people and they react to news. Sometimes wrong, sometimes right. So you can watch things like the leading economic indicators, the GDP reports. You know, those are, you know, trying to understand, read the tea leaves of the market. It's what you're trying to do through reading the economy and the market information that's thrown at you constantly. And that's what makes it so difficult. It's always changing. And remember, everybody knows the same information you do. You cannot get ahead of anybody else. Everything is already known. So don't think that you're going to find some secret something. That's not happening. Okay? So don't think that. That's Invest Talk 101, everybody. Now let's get you more involved in the program. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us. You can do it right now. 888-992-4278. Hope you can call me with any money questions you want. Let's go to Tom in San Francisco. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I thank you for your call.
I would like to ask about long, short equity funds.
Okay.
I've heard a little about that lately.
For everybody else, what Tom is asking about is a mutual fund that goes long and a mutual fund that goes short, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you're talking about a fund that goes short and long.
Yes.
There's not too many of them out there, but I kind of like them. Because you're giving the manager a lot of flexibility. So if something disastrous happens, he can play the market on the downside. You're buying a mutual fund, which is allowing the mutual fund manager to short the market. And for everybody else, shorting the market means that you make money if the market goes down. You make money if that particular stock goes down that you're shorting. Long means you make money when the stock price goes up. So if you have a short, long mutual fund, you're letting that guy decide whether he wants to be long, short, or both. And if he's both, he's straddling the market. He's not sure what direction he's gonna, the market's gonna go. So you can short really bad stocks and go long really good stocks, and you can make money both ways. But generally, I'll say this. Generally, the market, if it goes in a particular direction, if it's going up, the shorts don't work and the longs work. If it's going down, the shorts work and the longs don't, generally speaking. Tom, there's really not much difference in their management fees and so on and so forth. It's pretty much the same. Also, usually on these long short funds, you're allowing them to go to cash when they want to.
In general, then, are these more risky because they've got shorts in them?
They would be considered more risky, Tom. I don't consider them more risky, but the SEC does consider them more risky because shorting the market is more risky. Why is it more risky? Because if you short a stock, to get out of a short is the act of buying. And if the stock goes up that you're shorting, it can go up forever, and you could lose infinite amounts of money. That's why they consider it more risky. Now, of course, what manager in his right mind would let it do that? But still, that's the possibility. And if you go long, the most you can lose is all your money, go down to zero. So it's less risky. To me, that's kind of a silly argument. But the SEC considers them more risky, Tom. In fact, I think if you did the statistics, I think you'd find they're less risky. But they're considered more risky by most people.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Tom. How about we go to Mike in Fremont? How you doing, Mike?
Oh, doing pretty good. How are you up there?
Down here, I'm doing great.
Good. I've been listening for about a year, and this is my first time calling in.
Well, thanks.
And if I could I just take the answer on the air on this? And it may be just common knowledge, but it seems to me on my mutual funds that they all seem to take a dive in December.
And there is a specific reason, Mike.
Okay,
it's not just yours. Yeah, you can take it off the air. That's okay.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Sure. Mike, it's just not yours. It's many, many, many mutual funds do this. And this is why. It's very, very simple. In December, sometimes in November, many times in December, these mutual funds do what's called a capital gains distribution. Now, if you think about it, it'll make sense. Think about what a mutual fund does. It buys and sells stocks all year long, right, inside the mutual fund. When it does that, hopefully it's making money. And if it's making money, it's incurring capital gains tax. But it doesn't pay capital gains tax, just like you don't, until you do your taxes. Well, they have to distribute. Mutual funds have to distribute those capital gains to you so that you can put them on your taxes. So what will happen at the end of the year, if a mutual fund has a high turnover rate, meaning they buy and sell, buy and sell, buy and sell a lot during the year, and they've made money on those buy and sells, they would distribute those capital gains to you in the end of the year. Let's say the mutual fund is selling for $10 a share, and one day in December, you see it go to $9.50. All of a sudden, one day, they never tell you what day it is, so you can't sell it the day before, you do not know. They actually give you that 50 cents, by the way. They give that 50 cents to you. You'll see it coming into your portfolio if you're looking carefully. And then you have to pay the taxes on capital gains on your return when you get your 1099. So what it is, it's that jump down in November, December in one day is a capital gains distribution. That's what that's called. Many, many mutual funds do it. The ones who don't do it are the ones that don't have capital gains distributions. They don't have the capital gains. Let's say your mutual fund buys a stocks in December of one year, and they never sell those stocks for a full year. You'll not have any capital gains distribution, and the net asset value of the cost of the fund will not go down. So one thing we kind of look at is the capital gains liabilities, which you can find out, by the way, during the year. We actually cut back a couple of mutual funds because we expected large, we didn't sell them outright, but we expected large capital gains distributions, and we were trying to avoid it. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. So Mike, that's what that is. It's very common, and it's in the end of the year, and it happens a lot. Don't think you're doing anything wrong or they're doing anything wrong. That's not the truth. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and we have time to get your question in before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Okay, so we have another text question. Hi, guys. Love the show. Informative, easy to comprehend, difficult concepts. I'm wondering if you can discuss the forward PE. I understand how the PE is calculated as well as its applications. However, the forward PE has me a little confused. How is it calculated? I'm assuming projected earnings. Where does the PE value come from? Is it the current price? I realize that low PE has some indications of an undervalued stock, but I'm not sure how to evaluate a forward PE. Okay, he is exactly right. It's the current price of the stock based and then calculated using the forward earnings estimates, next year's earnings estimates divided by the price of the stock, or price of stock divided by the earnings, PE. Okay, so why is it important? Because that's what everybody uses. All the professionals use it. They don't care what the earnings were last year. They care about what the earnings are going to be next year. And they fully know that it's an estimate. So it could be wrong. But that's how they value the stock that they're looking at to buy. Now, PE is just one thing to look at. And also, you can't look at the PE in a vacuum. Certain stocks, certain sectors have high PEs. Certain stocks and sectors have low PEs. You know, and then you got to compare the PE in with its peer group. And the forward PE of its peer group. So it's not, you just can't look at it and say, well, that's a low PE. Oh, good, I'll buy that stock. Or that's, and don't assume that a high PE is necessarily bad. It's not. Okay? Depends on the growth rate of the company. If it's high growth, you're going to get a high PE.
If you have a question about our talking point today, there's a link to a related article on our website homepage. Or you can send a note. Do that. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin, and they will get back to you.
888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Sid in Fremont. How are you doing, Sid?
I worked for a big bank about a decade ago and had a 401k going with them. So this is about 10 years back. And in the last month, after receiving quarterly statements, et cetera, from them, they pretty much blew out my account and sent me a check for it all.
I don't like that. You know why I don't like that, Sid?
Well, I don't like it either, but what's your reason?
Because it's a distribution of a retirement account to you. How old are you?
41.
See, you're going to get taxed and penalty if you don't immediately put that into an IRA. It's a 401k. Everybody listen up. A 401k is a retirement account. Money is put in there that is pre-taxed. When you leave an employer, my thing is I always tell people don't leave it there because you'll forget about it if it's not very big, or you'll just let it sit there. And they do stuff like this. Here, they sent you a check, and they probably gave you an explanation. They probably sent you form letters you probably threw away because it looked like junk mail. They probably did that. They may not. Maybe they sent it to an old address. But be careful, Sid, because now you have this money in your hand. I would check with my accountant to say, how do I treat this so I don't get a tax problem on this thing? I'm not an expert accountant. That's why I said it. But I can tell you this. If you tax that money, you're going to get taxed and penalty on it. Because what they did when they send you a check, they notified the government, the IRS.
What if I call the IRS and just say, here, this is what's happened. What should I do?
I would never, ever rely on IRS's information. You know why? Because I did that once and it was totally wrong.
Uh-oh.
Go to a tax guy or an accountant, someone right. Who knows. Because the IRS will never accept responsibility if they give you wrong information.
I'm thinking of like in a typical retirement account like a Roth IRA, which I have going.
Uh-huh.
My thing is that it's my money, and who has the right, Fidelity or whomever, to just blow out an account and send me a check? Who has the right when it's mine anyway?
Well, they can do that because it is your money, and they say, here, take your money and do something else with it. We don't want it anymore. That's basically what they told you. In effect, by sending you the check. They can do that, but you have to take proper steps to protect yourself at this point. You're going to have to open up or put up an IRA, and not a Roth IRA, by the way, Sid. Can't put in a Roth IRA. It had to be a regular IRA. Because a Roth IRA is set up with pre-tax money. A 401k is after-tax money. You have to keep them separate.
Oh, but can I do a self-directed?
Yes. You can direct it, yes, that IRA, yes.
But it can't be a Roth.
Cannot be a Roth.
That's because
a regular
I prefer
IRA.
The Roth in general.
Yeah. Sid, I appreciate the call, and good luck with that. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Time to close up for the day. Before we go, a reminder to try our free risk analysis tool. It measures your tolerance for risk. It'll only take a couple few minutes, maybe three. It's free. Kind of gives you a risk score to see how risky you are, that you're willing to take. What's your comfort level with risk? That's what it does. And then we can compare it with the market. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today, everybody. And let's meet up again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.